From their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway, the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
The Julia and Gino Show is embarking on a new journey, transitioning from the Jake and Gino channel to its very own dedicated feed and channel. For our loyal listeners, eager to continue enjoying fresh episodes and encouraging conversations with remarkable guests, we invite you to visit our new website at juliaandgino.com. There you'll find our RSS feed and links to subscribe on Spotify and on iTunes. For our YouTube viewers, please refer to the links in the video descriptions to seamlessly follow us to our new channel. Stay connected and never miss an episode. Hey everyone, this is Julia Barbaro, host of the Julia and Gino podcast. I'm here with the co-founder of Jake and Gino, my husband and co-host, Gino Barbaro.
Julia, how are we doing today?
Amazing.
This is going to be an excellent show. Who do we got on today?
We'll get my dad on.
Your dad?
Yeah.
Who is your dad?
That's all I know him as. You know, I have a health issue and I'm like, Dad, what do I have to do? And he's like, read the book.
Read
so that's what I've heard my whole life. So I'm sharing my knowledge with our viewers.
Well, let's introduce
your dad. Plus, I got to experiment on her when she was little because I was still, you know, figuring this stuff out. And hey, she was a willing participant.
That explains a lot, people. As a clinician, Dr. Philip Maffetone pioneered various breakthroughs in biofeedback, nutrition, and exercise, and has authored many books, textbooks, and scientific research papers. During this career, he became a professional singer-songwriter, touring the world to share music and teach about a better brain and body. Since the 1970s, woo! Dr. Phil Maffetone has warned against sugar addiction and what we're going to be speaking about today, carbohydrate intolerance. Welcome to the show, Dr. Phil.
Thanks, Gino. Thanks, Julia.
Wow. You know, when I met you back in 1997, I was a total mess. I was young. I was 27 years old. I was in pretty good shape, but then I had all this stress and I was the pizza guy. And I don't know if you remember the first time you treated me, the inflammation at such a young age. And I want to say, probably haven't said it in a while, you probably saved my life. That first treatment, not knowing where I was headed, the backaches that I had at such a young age, what was going on. And I look back and I'm so thankful that you actually steered me on the right path. And, you know, God put Julie in my life and as a result, you came into my life. So I want to say thank you for that. And if you want to tell the listeners what kind of condition I was in, and I was the pizza guy. I was the classic carbohydrate-tolerant person.
Yeah, you did a good job explaining it. But I think that's what happens when we're younger in particular. We get all these clues, these signs and symptoms about poor health, and we tend to ignore them. We tend to self-medicate them. We tend to think, well, it's getting old. At 27, you are getting old, really? For me, to see somebody with those problems means something's wrong. We need to steer this person in another direction. And that was really all I did.
And it was hard. And we're going to talk about carbohydrate intolerance. Let's discuss what is CI. What is carbohydrate intolerance?
Carbohydrate intolerance is also called insulin resistance. I don't like using that word because as soon as people hear insulin and resistance, now they're confused and they shut down. You're unable to have a conversation with them. Carbohydrate intolerance means the same thing, and it means we're intolerant to the amount of carbohydrate we're eating right now. Mm-hmm. And the problem with carbohydrate is half of it turns to fat and goes into storage. So people think, well, there's carbohydrates, fats, and proteins. Everybody knows fat's bad because it makes you fat. Protein's not good either. So most of my diet is now carbohydrate. That's the big myth that has been perpetuated by the companies that make and sell carbohydrates. Even the government has done that. Eat a lot of carbohydrates. Well, we have in the US, we have a population that's 93-94% overfat in the adult population. 70% of kids, over 70%, are overfat. And this is primarily from eating too much carbohydrate. No matter how much you're eating, if you're overfat, you're eating too much.
And let me ask you, let's go back to the timeline of when you saw this all occurring, because there is really a parallel causation and correlation, right? You're looking at it when all of a sudden they started saying fat bad, sugar, whole wheat, bread good. When did you start seeing that shift to people becoming overfat and unhealthy?
I saw it early on, even in my teens. I knew something wasn't right. I had a suspicion about authority, I guess, and that kind of I got interested in nutrition and exercise, and it carried over. But certainly in college, when I started studying physiology and learning biology and how animals and humans in particular, early in our existence, ate, it was very low carbohydrate. It was higher fat and moderate protein and very low carbohydrate. And all of a sudden today, we're eating very high fat and very high carbohydrate and very low fat and very low protein, and literally becoming deficient in protein and fat along the way. So it was early on, and I had to figure out, you know, what do we do? How do we help people who have this problem? Or how do I help myself? I had a problem from birth. I was given sugar water at birth, and that was the beginning. It went all downhill from there until later in my teens when I realized what was going on. And I'll tell you, as many stories as I've heard from patients who have gotten off carbohydrates and what, you know, how difficult it was for them, and the night and day, the miracles that I would see, luckily, I went through it too. And it was, I could tell you, it wasn't easy, but we need to do it.
When you say the word difficult, okay. So Gino has,
wife is difficult.
I'm difficult. Okay. But getting off, getting off carbs and sugar is probably more difficult than me. Would you agree?
You know, that's...
Well, I was going to say, okay, maybe for you, because you'll do the 2-week test. And my dad's going to talk about that and what that means. But you'll do it, and the kids are like, wow, dad's really good at that. Because we'll go on it, dad. Well, me and the kids will try to go on it. And within 2 days, we can't, it's just so difficult.
Julia,
for
what
us.
Inspired yes. me, this is what really inspired me. There's a story from Jim Rohn. I was going to share this a little later. But imagine yourself, picture and imagine right now that you are in a boat without a motor or without oars, and you're 100 feet from Niagara Falls. What are you? You're screwed. But the real tragedy of that story is, if someone had told you upstream that Niagara Falls is downstream, what would you do? You'd prepare yourself. You'd get a motor. You'd get a rowboat. You'd prepare yourself. That's what this show is all about. It's all about preparation. Mm-hmm. I'm at an age right now that I still feel great. Mm-hmm. My wife, I can run circles around my wife. She's tired. I have so much energy. But that's
not
the point.
Well, that's not true. Okay, we'll talk about that in a second.
That's not the point. The point is, I know that I'm going to have issues in the future. Yeah. And I think the psychology of how my mind works and dopamine and all this, I know that I need to do this because I want to see my daughter get married and I want to have grandkids and I want to be able to experience that, not from a wheelchair or not with taking medicine and drugs from companies, but to be able to say, hey, I can skip the donuts because I want to be around in my 80s because I want to have impact with my kids and leave legacy. That's what you need to be thinking about as you're listening to this show, that Niagara Falls is upstream or downstream and you're heading towards it. You have the ability to make a course correction right now. It's never too late.
I love your
And we know all this. People know all this. But sugar and refined carbohydrates, which turns to sugar as soon as you eat it, so it's really all one thing, has such a grip on people. And early in my career, I think as a student, when I was talking about carbohydrate addiction and other scientists and clinicians didn't like that word addiction because, you know, we need to do studies. Is it really addicting? We don't know, blah, 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 blah. If you've tried to get off sugar, you know it's addicting.
Right.
When I would try to express the the seriousness of it, I would equate it, sugar to tobacco, to smoking cigarettes. And it became, sugar is the new tobacco, because everybody relates to tobacco. They don't realize that it hasn't gone away by any means. It's just the perception that we've all received because of the big lawsuit. You know, the tobacco companies had to pay billions, but they make billions every year. And so it's the cost of doing business. And then one day, and I had tried putting sugar as a new tobacco in some of the research papers I wrote, and the reviewer said, not a good idea. That's really too opinionated, Bob. And suddenly they accepted it. And then just recently I read something that said, sugar is not only the new tobacco, but it's harder to get off. So, and gradually the tobacco analogy wore off and I started using heroin. I said, look, heroin is not unlike sugar. And what I realized over the years is that heroin addicts and cigarette smokers and people who are sugar addicted have the same mentality. I can quit if I want. Well, how about if I only do heroin on the weekend? That's okay, right? I mean, you know, no. And with sugar, with junk food, the thing is, oh, everything in moderation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so what's moderation when it comes to smoking cigarettes? Moderate heroin intake, it's okay, right? No, there's no moderation with sugar.
Mm-hmm. Phil, let me ask you real quick before you jump in. This is important. What are the symptoms of carbohydrate intolerance?
Well, there are so many signs and symptoms. You know, we could spend all of our time talking about them and why they come about. But fatigue, mental fatigue, and physical fatigue. The mental fatigue is important because you mentioned about success. And, you know, we can't be successful even if we have the best plan in the world, whether it's for business, for a partnership, for life, it's not going to work if our brain isn't working. And one of the things carbohydrate does to the brain is it impairs it. We literally become brain injured as a result of sugar intake. So fatigue, mental and physical fatigue, hunger, very common problem, digestive symptoms from, you know, from top to bottom. And then the trickle-down effect of that carbohydrate intolerance is that we develop conditions like hypertension, diabetes, cancer, heart disease, Alzheimer's. Alzheimer's is called type 3 diabetes by many people in the scientific community. Wow. It's very accurate because of what sugar does to the brain and over time how the brain operates in that cognitive dysfunction state. So a lot of things. Weight gain, of course, comes along with the fat storage, and excess body fat is a classic sign of too much sugar intake. And if 93% of American adults are over fat, 93% of them are carbohydrate intolerant. And it's not just in the U.S., it's really all around the world because everybody's wanted to be like the Americans over the years. And I did a study in India and showed that 80.5% of Indian adults were also overfat.
Wow.
That's amazing.
That's a population that is struggling with food at times. I mean, it's not a third world country. It's actually gone up. But to think about that goes to the quality of the food that they have. Their food is just being injected with so much sugar.
What America did back in the 60s, you don't remember because you weren't around, but on TV, there were always these ads, you know, 25 cents a day will feed a starving child. Well, what was going on? Well, people were donating money and they were sending big sacks of white flour and white sugar to India for years and years. And it changed their genetics. And all of a sudden, they started becoming more and more overfat. And now it's become a serious thing. And of course, they always talk about the explosion of diabetes, the explosion of heart disease. Soon they'll be talking about the explosion of Alzheimer's in India. And these are all the trickle-down effects of carbohydrate intolerance. Wow.
So we've been talking about the two-week tests, and the listeners don't know what that means. And so I want to go there for a second.
You want to go there for a second.
I do. And I, like I said before, it's really challenging, especially if you're addicted.
It's challenging unless you see yourself getting to Niagara Falls and you say to yourself, I need a change.
Or,
and you, me and your dad were talking about the other day.
Yeah.
Cold turkey.
Yeah.
Just do it. I mean, just don't say, I'm going to try one day. And then it's very difficult. And I've been through this process for the last 7 days. And I just said to my wife this morning, I'm not really that hungry right now. All of a sudden, I'm eating less. I'm eating much more quality foods. Is it hard?
Yes,
absolutely.
It's hard because
Julia
you have to cook a lot.
Cook for me. So.
But I was going to get to that for a second. So, Dad,
do you have pots that have Gino's pot? The rest of
Not yet. No, I just scrounged some stuff. Actually, today I brought some chopped meat in for lunch. I had a nice little omelet this morning. I got some vegetables and stuff. But, you know, for those of you wanting to do this, just try it. Just cold turkey.
Well, that's what I want to talk. Yes, cold turkey. Yes. But what happens is you are working all day. You come home, you have nothing to eat. And then you freak out. You have nothing to eat. So what's fast is carbohydrates. And so you need to plan it.
They're everywhere.
You know? They're everywhere. And they're fast. And they're easy.
Exactly. Their marketing. They want it everywhere on every corner. And it's cheap. And you can drive in and get, you know.
Right.
So in the beginning of practice, my goal was to help people get off junk food, get off sugar. Mm-hmm. And I would talk to them and say, you know, let's start weaning down. Let's you know, eliminate. And they would start negotiating with me. Okay, I'll eliminate dessert, but I'll keep eating bread. Okay.
It sounds like Julia. It sounds like my wife.
I mean, I worked with these people. I remember. I learned from them. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but what I realized was that they weren't feeling what it was like to be off the sugar because. Mm-hmm. Think of cigarettes. If you wean down from 2 packs to 1 pack, or if you're taking heroin every day and you just let's just do it on weekends, is that really going to help? Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to do something that would give people a sense, a real objective sense of how they feel off the sugar. And of course, that means cold turkey. And that's what the two-week test is. It's eliminating the junk food and cutting way down on the natural carbohydrates and eating as much as you want of the rest of the healthy foods. And before you start, write down your signs and symptoms, your fatigue, your intestinal dysfunction is, you know, so you wake up in the middle of the night, you fall asleep at your desk during the day after lunch, whatever, your blood pressure is high, your triglycerides are high, your cholesterol, whatever you would tell your doctor if your doctor would ever listen to you. and now after 2 weeks, you compare, you say, well, wow, I'm not hungry. Like you just said, I've lost an inch or two on my waist. I've lost 10 pounds. I'm sleeping through the night. My gut doesn't bother me anymore. I can think. I'm alert during the day at work. Whatever the situation.
Dr. Phil, what foods, let's just tell the people, what foods are allowable? Let's go with the positives of what you can eat, and then we'll go with what you should not be eating.
It's amazing. You go through the things that shouldn't be eating, and patients will listen, and they'll write things down, and then they'll say, but that's all I eat. And it's true. And they'll say, well, what can I eat? You know, have you lost your common sense? Have you lost your ability to understand what healthy food really is? Yes, mm-hmm. is the answer. So we could eat eggs. You had an omelet, a vegetable mm-hmm. omelet. What a great breakfast. Beef and vegetables for lunch. Some seafood or a salad with cheese for dinner. And similar things, you know, in the middle of the day, if you want to snack on raw almonds, for example, that's a great thing to do. Sour cream, cheese, real cheese. So we're talking about real cheese, real meat. We're not talking about going to a deli and get slices of ham, because if you look at the ingredients, it'll say sugar.
Mm-hmm.
They put sugar in ham. Yes, they do. They put sugar in everything. Mm-hmm. And so it's really important to to read the ingredient list. And if you're buying something from a vendor and you don't know what you're getting, go somewhere else. Because if you ask the vendor, does this have sugar? They'll say, oh no.
So what I would say to everybody, when you're going to start this, get rid of everything in your pantry. If you're saying, I got stuff in my pantry, don't throw it out. Maybe eat it. I don't know what you want to do.
Don't eat it.
Don't even give it to the homeless. You know, I give when I'm touring, I give the money I make to homeless people in the form of healthy food. I buy healthy food for them. And, you know, half of them don't want it. They want the money. They, you know.
So what I'm trying to say, though, is if you're going to start with an empty cupboard, start with an empty pantry, get rid of everything that is really tempting for you. Cause that's the most difficult thing.
Because
you
may,
after day two or day three, you may break down.
On your website, there is info. And so in a minute, I want you to tell everyone what that website is, but come up with a plan, right? Cause we talk about business and family here and we usually have plans, right? So don't just randomly try to figure it out as you go. You have to, for me, and this is what I'm already wrote down, cause this is my plan, is that the kids and I will come up with menus for every day of the 2 weeks.
Oh, great.
And then according to that, you're going to go shopping according to that. And I think that's what it's like, what is especially with children. Cause I think I ruined our oldest. I think we traumatized her with this years ago. It was a negative approach for me, not for you, Dad, but it was in a negative approach. And I think I kind of, you know, so we're going to revisit that next week, but so to approach it in a positive way. How great we're going to feel.
Yeah. I mean, it should always be approached that way. And, you know, and making a plan is a necessity and buy food ahead of time and have food with you, bring it to work, bring it in your car. You know, if you're in your car all day, you could carry a bunch of triple cream brie. It's not going to go bad. Almonds. There's so many ways to not be hungry and not skip a meal. You don't want to skip a meal because if you do, what the body does is it breaks down muscle to get energy. And some of that muscle turns to sugar, which then turns to fat. And it's just like eating sugar. So for many people, they need to eat every 2 or 3 hours until that hunger goes away, which like you said, doesn't take very long.
Dr. Phil, recipes. I know you've got a place where you have recipes also, because some people may not be as creative. Now, I'm the one dish wonder. I make some amazing meals, so I don't have that problem. But for those people who have problems on coming up and being creative with cooking, it's not that difficult, especially when you have great ingredients like beef, like meat, like vegetables, not potatoes, please. I got the Irish chick next to me. She loves the potatoes. Potatoes is one thing. In corn, you got to get rid of a couple of those vegetables. So go on the website and make sure you're following it. But where can people get more ideas to become more creative?
There's so much you could eat. There's so many ingredients on that list that you're going to have when you go to the store and buy. And then there's so many dishes you could make. And I have recipes on my website. I have really great pictures. We actually did a photo shoot of a lot of those pictures. PhilMaffetone.com, you can search on that website, the 2 week test, and you'll come right to it. And then it'll have links to the recipes, foods you should eat, foods you should avoid. There's a white paper, more scientific paper on why this problem is so prevalent and what it really does to our health. And so there's really no questions. It's pretty straightforward. And really the first step for people is deciding they want to do something, deciding they want to take responsibility for their health. And this is the time. There's no better time than now.
Yeah. I have a question before so a lot of us, yes, we cook. You know, all of us here cook. Some people don't. Let's just be honest. Okay. And there's a lot of food. You know, you buy the little prefixed foods. Are those acceptable? or some, can you find those out there?
Is that a rhetorical question right now?
Well, no, because I wanted, because some people just, they, honestly, so
I'm going to push back on you.
Let's learn how to cook and eat healthy.
Well, don't go to Whole Foods and buy prepackaged stuff. Read the labels. I'm just joking with you. I know that. It's a great question, Julia. No, because we think we're going, and I'll give you a quick story.
I mean, we literally have eight people in the house that could cook.
So I remember 1999, we started the health food kick, and my wife's like, we're going to eat healthy. We're going to have organic Fig Newtons. Yeah, that's a great choice.
Well,
looking back
that's
at it
okay.
Now.
I thank you for bringing that up, because I went through something. We all go through
you.
These.
We went through
I did. You go to the health food store all of a sudden, and you're like, oh, look at all this stuff. It's organic. It's natural. It's good for
me. That's the scam, the organic scam. I only eat organic food, and it's not easy finding it. Yeah. But the industry, the sugar industry, when the USDA was putting the National Organic Program together, the sugar industry, the big food chains, big sugar insisted on being part of the National Organic Program, and they wanted sugar, white flour, chips, tobacco. They wanted all these things organic, and they got what they wanted because they were in charge, really. So we can't make any assumptions. We have to read ingredients. The label laws today are better than they used to be, but there's a lot of trickery out there still. Mm-hmm. So you buy the ingredients in their raw, simplest material, and you cook it. If you can't cook, or if you don't want to cook, you can still go into a store and buy essentially packaged foods that have an ingredient list that you could read and, you know, go from there. It's tough to do that with eggs, but you can bring some eggs home and boil them up and keep them in the refrigerator. Now you've got an on-the-go food. You've got cheeses, real cheeses, that is an on-the-go food. You could make, you put all the stuff that you mentioned, Gino, the beef, the vegetables, you saute it with coconut oil or butter, and you make this big pot, and then you put it into little containers, and now you have some to-go foods. Mm-hmm. It's not hard, and being creative is not hard either.
Mm. Phil, can you just give me a few ingredients for people when they're reading the label, like soy protein isolate or maltodextrins? You read the label, what should you run away from?
Anything you can't read, put it down. Anything that has an ingredient list that's longer than a couple of sentences, as it gets bigger, just put it down. It's packaged foods. That was the term that we often used before the word junk food came about, which was not until the early 80s, I think. Mm-hmm. We called it processed foods and packaged foods because they were traditionally the really bad, unhealthy foods, and they still are today. Mm-hmm. They do put healthy things in packages now, but and don't assume that if you're going to, like the organic scan, don't assume if you go into a farmer's market that the food you buy there is going to be healthy and without sugar, and don't expect them to tell you that there's sugar in it, because they often don't and won't, or they don't even know, or they're addicted to sugar and they say, oh, this is not much. It's hot. I eat it.
Now, Gino's really done with his 2-week test. He's all done. No. Let's say I'm going into the future. I've done great. I'm feeling really good. How do I start introducing the foods or some of those healthy carbohydrates back into my body? What are my next steps after I'm complete the 2-week test?
So now you know you've compared your signs and symptoms on day one to the end of the 2 weeks, and you know you're carbohydrate intolerant. You know you're never going to be able to go back to those bad foods if you want to be healthy. And the question is, what natural carbohydrates can I eat? Mm-hmm. Well, you're now more intuitive. You're now instinctual. So if you eat something that's beyond your carbohydrate limit, you're going to know pretty quick. So if you normally get tired after lunch, or if you're normally waking up in the middle of the night, and you experiment with some natural foods and you have a half an apple after dinner as a dessert, and you wake up in the middle of the night or the next day, you're kind of sleepy, you know that that amount of carbohydrate is too much for you.
Mm-hmm.
And you experiment with the natural carbohydrate, lentils, fruit, you know, even honey, mm-hmm. Very small amounts of all of that stuff. Every other meal, because there's a two-meal pattern in metabolism where the amount of insulin we make in this meal is based on the carbohydrates in this meal and also the carbohydrates in your previous meal. So mm-hmm. it could fool you. So every other meal you try a natural, healthy carbohydrate, like the lentils, like some fruit or berries. Blueberries are great. Strawberries are great. A dessert of blueberries and cream or blueberries and sour cream is great. And you experiment the next week or so. If you've lost 10 pounds during the test, if you've lost an inch or two on your waist during the test, and now you start experimenting and you get a week or two into it and you think you know what foods you can tolerate, but you notice you've gained weight again and your waist is getting bigger again, you know that you made some mistakes and you got to go back and figure out what those foods are that caused you to regress again. And I know a lot of people who do the 2-week test, they're like a new person after mm-hmm. 2 weeks. And they say, I'm going to just eat this way all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Why not? You know, mm-hmm. this is like, my blood pressure is normal. I've gotten off 3 meds that I've been on for years. My doctor said, whatever you're doing, keep doing it. You know, it's like you say, I have the same attitude. I want to see my grandchildren graduating from high school. I'm already seeing that. I want to mm-hmm. see my great-great-grandkids. I want to see my mm-hmm. My kids graduating, my grandkids graduating from college. I want to mm-hmm. see these future generations, and I don't want to be in a wheelchair, and I don't want to be cognitively impaired.
Mm-hmm.
And we are in charge of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I love that. It's like I said earlier, it's a challenge, but it's an exciting challenge because, like you said, you feel good. You're able to get off the floor and not need help. Like, that's a big deal, right?
Yes.
That's so, a little thing.
What's sad is people wait until something happens. Yes, they have a stroke. They have a heart attack.
And then they change.
And then they say, boy, I wish I could change. Well, sure. You can, and that can help. Yeah. But it's kind of late. But, you know, anytime you make the change is good. But the sooner you make it, the better. And I can't emphasize that the best time to do it is right now.
Thank you.
I would be remiss on this show if I didn't mention business for at least 10 seconds. Can I put a little business analogy
here? Go for it.
Okay.
We've been talking about it because one of the most profound things with the 2-week test is it makes your brain better.
Yes.
And if you're going to do business, like I said, if you have the best business plan in the world and you're carbohydrate intolerant, and you're still eating all that junk food, you can't implement it because your brain isn't going to work well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Simple as that.
For me, I love teaching people how to become financially free through investing in real estate. And I've noticed and I've realized that about 95% of the U.S. population is not financially free when they retire.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very similar to the health industry. 90-something percent of the people are overfat. So we're talking about something possibly controversial on the show. Well, when I teach about money and you think about people putting money in their 401ks or saving for this, it's all thought science. It's all follow the mentality of the herd. Well, the herd's been doing it wrong for the last 40 years, whether you're investing your money, whether you're taking your healthcare advice, whatever that may be. This is, I don't want to say this is controversial because we've known this for the last hundreds of years. And you see these stupid diet fads jumping on and these stupid stock scams and crypto and the list goes on and on. Think about long-termism. Think about the benefits. Think about going back and the simplicity of what we're talking about. It's the same thing about creating wealth. Creating wealth and making money is not a complex process. It's simple. It just takes time for you to prepare it, to be really diligent about it, to be disciplined, and to actually have a real reason why. It's great to make money. Why are we making money? To create a legacy for our future generation. Why do we want to become healthy? Because we want to be able to function when they're 82 years old and not sit in a nursing home. We want to still create impact and create legacy. And I see my wife is smiling at me. Would you like to jump in?
I love your excitement.
It takes a healthy brain. I mean,
yes, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And if you're healthy, then it's easier for me to take care of you. Is that what you're saying?
I guess so.
You can wash the dishes.
And I love it because we could do this with our whole family. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times we try to do things on our own and our family's over there eating pasta. And my husband has to deal with that a lot. We do feel bad, just so you know. Mm-hmm. But if we do it all together, it's easier.
Yeah, that was the hardest thing for me, to get a patient to make the change that was necessary for their health. And then once they were convinced to do that, mm-hmm. I'd see them again and they'd say, it's really been hard. I'd say, well, what's the problem? Well, I'm discovering new recipes and I'm finding foods that I wasn't sure about in the past and I'm really loving it. But I sit down to dinner and my kids are drinking Coke and my spouse is having pasta and I'm having what I'm having. And, you know, it's really hard. It's hard to get off the junk food. It's hard to get off the sugar, but in the 2-week test, you'll be able to do it without any problem. It gets interesting over the months and years because we still go through this addiction thing. Mm-hmm. We are still addicted to sugar. It's like an alcoholic. And or a cigarette smoker. I've given up cigarettes. Oh, now I'm gonna have a couple of hits on a cigarette or a cigar, and bingo, now you're smoking again. Mm-hmm. In order to pass the bakery test for me, it took years. The bakery test is where we walk by a bakery in Paris and we see and smell the most amazing things, and we don't question ourselves. We don't ignore it. We think about walking in and buying a croissant and eating it because our nervous system has that ingrained in it. And how long does it take to get rid of that? It takes years.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the different stages.
Where can the listeners get a hold of you?
Before you do that, I have this important question.
Ooh, important
is coffee
question.
Okay on the 2-week test?
Why are you looking at me?
Because this is an important question. I'm sure a lot of people are wondering that as they're listening. Please answer that question.
I had a patient. She asked me the same question. I said, yes, you could have coffee.
Thank you.
And she came in a few weeks later and said, you know, I don't understand. It's not working at all. I said, well, what are you doing? And she said, well, that. And then I had coffee with my normal 2 spoons of sugar. Yes, you can have coffee. And, you know, we don't want to overindulge. Caffeine is a drug. Mm-hmm. It's a potent drug. And we need to know our limits. If we're carbohydrate intolerant, we tend to not know our limits. After we get off the sugar, we tend to sense how much caffeine we can consume without it stressing our body. So, yes, coffee, tea, of course, water, plain water. And there's really not a lot of liquids because liquids today are full of sugar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. I had to do that because coffee, I mean, that's what we think about.
That's what you think about.
I could see my dad drinking his last cup of the day. I could see
it. Yes. It's my midday last fix, which I look forward to starting when I make it in the morning.
We're related. You could tell.
And I have a thing called Phil's fat burning coffee recipe, where you add certain ingredients and it's the best cappuccino you've ever had. It's very healthy and it's literally a meal because you're getting 300, maybe 400 calories, depending on how much you make, in the morning. And it's a meal.
Yeah.
And so when you're doing the 2-week test, it's important to eat within the first hour after you awaken because your metabolism is pretty unstable and you want to give it all the help you can.
Yeah. Okay. No, I love this topic. And I just encourage you listening, do it with the family, encourage them, say, are you willing to try this with me? Not, this is what we're doing. Because that's a big mistake that I've made before. Are you willing to do this with me? We're going to do it together. We're going to shop together. We're going to plan the meals. and encourage each other and keep it positive.
Yeah. And if some of your kids are not on board and they're away, you change everything. And when they come home, oh, where's this? Where? Well, we don't have those foods anymore. And you can't bring them in the house.
I want to share a quick story to relate and maybe on how to have the mindset of how you can adopt what we've been talking about. In 2015, it was March. I was at the restaurant. I'm in the shed of my restaurant and I'm surrounded by pizza boxes and I'm surrounded by bags of flour. And it feels as if I'm hiding in the shed. But at that time, I have my phone jammed to me and I'm talking to Jake and we are negotiating an $11 million real estate deal. And I'm doing $10 an hour work while I'm negotiating an $11 million deal. And it's just, to me, it was mind-boggling. I stopped right then and there. And I said to myself, that's it. This deal, when I close it, I'm going to leave the restaurant forever. And at that point, I found myself to start identifying as a multifamily entrepreneur. From that point before, I was always identifying as the pizza guy. But now when I took on the persona of the multifamily entrepreneur, what did that mean? It meant that I had to do different habits. It meant that I had to learn new skills. It meant that I had to surround myself with different people. It meant that I had to call brokers and raise capital and learn the process. And this is the same thing with becoming healthy. You need to identify the new mindset of you want to be a new person. You want to be healthy. You're not, oh, I'm going to dabble in it. You have to really jump in it full steam and say, I'm worth it. I want to be here. I want to create impact. And if you do that and you start identifying as someone who is healthy, you'll start taking the tasks and the habits that will lead you to becoming healthy. You'll be out there seeking the real information and you're out there seeking the real recipes out there and the books out there. And that's what people who identify as whatever they're trying to identify as, it's really, really important to understand that. I know my wife is looking at me going, Gino, really? You really got to talk about it? What
it's
are your
okay.
thoughts on
I'm
that?
Good. No, I agree with you. Go ahead, Dad.
They're really good points and they're right on. And you made the decision. Mm-hmm. You had a passion. Mm-hmm. And people who have passions often suppress them. Ignore them. Mm. They say, well, when I retire, I'll get into that. When you retire, you're going to have a heart attack or you're going to be pretty run down. I have the same story. I woke up here in 2002 as a songwriter, and I was at the peak of my career, my other career. And now I'm a songwriter. How am I going to become a songwriter? I don't really know anything about songwriting. And I realized I had to quit my job, which I did. I ran off to LA to start learning about music. And I leveraged what I did in my previous health and fitness career. But, it was the most wonderful thing I've ever done.
And that's the thing. You identified as a songwriter and as a musician, and you took the necessary steps that you needed to be able to become successful in that. So let's translate that into health, because I'm going to wrap the show up real simple. If you don't have your health, you can't accomplish anything. Try to work a 40-hour work week if you can't get out of bed, if you're tired, if you're depressed, if you're overweight, if your joints hurt. You can't focus and you don't have clarity. You're not inspired. You're not motivated. So to me, this has been one of the most important shows that we've had, because it really focuses on something simple that you can do. Mm. We're not telling you to reinvent the wheel. Just look at what you've been eating. Try to take control of give me the next 14 days of your life. Mm. That's all I beg of you. It's just 14 days and see what happens. If it doesn't change you, then you say, Gino, you're full of crap, get lost. But I promise you, that's not the case. The case is like, wow. This is not a fad diet. This is not crazy. This is something I can implement. And I've never been heard this stuff before, but it really works. Mm-hmm. So give yourself those 2 weeks. Julia,
and
you wrap
it up. It's definitely not a diet. You'll see my name associated with the 2-week diet. It's not a diet. Mm-hmm. I'm very anti-diet. It's a test. It's a challenge. You want to know what it's like to be without all this junk. And you'll know pretty quick as you reminded us.
Yeah, this is all 100% worth it. I definitely encourage everyone out there, do this. Go on to my dad's website, philmaffetone.com. Check out the 2-week tests. Make a plan. Cook with your kids. Have fun with it.
And you can still have your coffee.
And you can still have your coffee.
No sugar.
Yeah.
No creamers. Yeah. Just real coffee.
Real
your
coffee.
Your taste buds will change, guaranteed, definitely, very quickly. Yeah. And so you won't need sugar in your coffee. Right. People put sugar in the coffee because it's bitter. That's why people don't eat vegetables. That's why kids don't eat vegetables, because they've reprogrammed their taste buds for sweet taste. Mm-hmm. And the bitterness of the other taste buds is kind of brushed aside. So when we consume something that's bitter, it's really terrible.
Right, mm-hmm. right. My kids tell me the kids don't like vegetables because the mom doesn't know how to cook them. That's what they tell me. They don't understand.
Blame it on you, of course.
My kids like vegetables. My other kids don't like it because their parents don't know how to cook them. And I do, let's have you back in a bit, because I want to go over exercise in our next podcast.
Love that.
And that would be really helpful, because that's just like the part two.
So we're talking about
let me just say the exercise part is important, but as I've often talked about, the exercise quality, the ability to exercise and get into shape and burn off body fat, mm-hmm. is really dependent on the mm-hmm. more priority, the more important factor, which is carbohydrate balance.
Yeah. So, yes. So in the meantime, yes, before you're on next time, everyone do the 2-week test, get off carbs, get off sugar, and then we'll go into the exercise.
Thanks, Dr. Awesome. Phil. We'll see you next time. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
From a flat tire in the city to a dead battery on a distant drive, AAA is partnering with T-Mobile for Business to accelerate response times and get more drivers back on the road fast. Our nationwide connectivity powers location telematics, so AAA's fleet can find stranded drivers quickly while being fully equipped with the in-vehicle tools to have answers when they get there. This is elevating the member experience. This is AAA with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.